This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol. We have a rare opportunity today to talk to two young ladies who are astronauts. And I don't get this opportunity very often, and quite frankly, because there aren't a lot of them out there. But I've got Jasmine Mogabelli and Laurel O'Hara in my office this morning. And I understand that both of you have some recent experience up in space for an extended period of time. So, Jasmine, I'm going to start with you. When were you there? What were you doing? And how has your return to Earth been?
Absolutely. Thank you, Congressman Womack, for having us here. So I launched on a SpaceX crew rocket, Crew 7 vehicle in August of 2023 and just returned in March of 2024 back to Earth, splashed down off the coast of Pensacola, spent 199 days in space, and we were on the International Space Station. Primary purpose of the space station is to conduct research and technology demonstrations, so a lot of science and research that directly impacts those of us back here on Earth and also will help us to go further in the solar system as humans.
Was that your first trip?
This was my first trip to the space station. It's something I've dreamed about since I was in elementary school. And so I remember, you know, on launch day thinking, wow, this dream's actually going to come true for me. And I was a little afraid I'd get up there and I might be disappointed, but somehow it surpassed my expectations and it was bittersweet coming back home.
Okay, so Jasmine, when they took it out of park and put it into drive and hit the gas, what was that like?
You know, a lot of people think the launch is really this dynamic phase, but on the Falcon 9 rocket that we launched, there are 9 engines, and so the first stage is actually really smooth, but you know the moment it's lit off because you feel the G's building right away, but it's very smooth. Then when that cuts out, the first stage cuts out and you go to the second stage, that was my favorite part because you have a moment of weightlessness and then the second stage kicks in and it's a very rumbly, because that's a single engine now, very rumbly and slow build in G's. And then that slowly builds up and then when that cuts out, you're in orbit about 8.5 minutes later in orbit headed to the International Space Station.
And then I guess things kind of settle down. Laurel, you heard what she said. Same experience for you?
Yes. Launch day was one of the best days of my life. And yeah, like what Josh said, so if we go from 0 miles per hour on the launch pad to over 17,500 miles per hour in about 8 minutes. So that is a pretty incredible ride. And I remember when the last engine cut out and we were in space, I had a pencil on a kneeboard that I just kept floating in front of my face. Both the pilot, my pilot and I were doing the same thing. We just kept, it was his first flight too. And we just kept spinning our pencils around in front of our face, trying to wrap our heads around the fact that like we were in microgravity and we were going to be here for 6 more months.
Was your training, did it prepare you well for what you were about to experience? And did everything basically just happen the way the training went?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the surprises on space station, you know, we do a lot of training to prepare us for the work we're going to do on board. But there's also always a gap between the preparation and the actual doing of the thing. And so you wonder, you know, what it's going to be like when you get on board. And I was amazed at how I could be going to start an experiment or work on one of the ISS systems. And from somewhere deep in my brain, there was some class that we took some time where I'd start, you know, working with the hardware, and I would remember the training that we'd had on the ground, and it was familiar to me. And so that's a testament, I think, to just how well prepared we are by the ground teams and by our instructors in Houston and also all around the world.
You were not alone on the space station. I mean, there are other people up there.
There are. We were on board with 7 people. One of the things I think that is the coolest thing about our crew, besides the people themselves, was the fact that we were such an international crew. Jasmine and I were the only 2 Americans on board during our mission. We had a Danish astronaut, Andy Mogensen, and a Japanese astronaut, Satoshi Furukawa, who were working with us on the U.S. side. And then we also had 3 cosmonauts on board.
We could talk all day about your experience. I want to go back to your backgrounds. Jazz, you wanted to do this since elementary school. So how did you achieve this dream?
Yes, sir. So I've wanted to do this since elementary school, as you said. I, after graduating high school, went and studied aerospace engineering at MIT. And while I was there, went through officer candidate school between my junior and senior years for the Marine Corps. And so as soon as I graduated, commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps, served as a Cobra pilot, did 3 deployments with the Marine Corps, and then from there went on to become a test pilot. And I was serving as a test pilot when NASA put out the announcement, and I submitted my application and was lucky enough to be selected in the same class that Laurel was.
So Laurel, was this a childhood dream?
Also for me as well. I grew up in Houston, actually, with NASA right down the road. And so from a really early age, I had the astronauts as kind of the symbol of exploration, and I wanted to be an explorer. So from around the time I was about 8 years old, I was dreaming about being an astronaut.
You know, I could talk all day about the kinds of things and the questions you get from different people about your work as a NASA astronaut. I think what I want to do as we conclude here is to get both of you to if you're speaking to a young kid today that has maybe some of those same dreams that you had, Jazz, when you were growing up, what would you say to them today if they truly want to go where you've been?
I think there are 2 things I would say. The first is, we need you there. There were times I think I questioned whether I should be in a room or be on a team, and I realized over time that because of our different experiences and different backgrounds, we can think about problems differently, and we need all those people in the room to help tackle a problem. And then the second thing I've learned along the way is, when you are doing difficult things, you will fail. It's just inherent in it, and it's how you react to that failure that's important. And it's terrifying in the moment if it's something you care about, but what's important is that if it is something that you think is worthwhile, try something different, ask for help, try a different approach, but just don't give up, and then eventually you'll be successful.
Same question for you. What's your advice?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with the 2 things Jasmine said, and I would also add on to that, it sounds really cliche, but to follow your passions. We need people in the world who are doing things that they are passionate about. You'll do a better job, I think, and see things a little bit differently if it's something that you feel really strongly about. And then similarly, doing hard things, challenging yourself is the way I think that you learn the best and develop and grow into the best possible person you can be.
Laurel, Jasmine, we are so proud of you. You've honored us with your presence today and the opportunity to speak with both of you. Continued best wishes, and let's hope that we have a few more young people that are hearing this interview today and following in your footsteps very soon. So thank you so much. 2 great astronauts that have been up there and returned and now on Capitol Hill talking about the great work of NASA. As always, I invite your views. This is Congressman Steve Womack with comment from the Capitol.